Good evening. We'll be making your way to 1 John. 1 John, the first chapter, I want to begin reading in verse 5 and read through the sixth verse of chapter 2. That's 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5. Great to be here with you tonight. I'm glad that you're here awaiting and willing to open the Word of God and study together with us. If you're visiting with us tonight and you'd like to know more about what we are about, please stick around and get to know us. Please talk to us. We are interested in the truth of God's Word, something that we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, and about pursuing holiness, pursuing righteousness in our life. And John has quite a bit to say about that in this first letter to these brethren, among whom some had departed, and there were some questions about who had the truth and who abided in God. And so John set out to give confidence, to give encouragement to these brethren who had some doubts, to lift them up in this state of concern about the reality that some people had left them. And because of the way some of these people were acting, they said they had some kind of special knowledge. We don't know everything about this group, but we only know what we can imply from the text, because John's purpose is not to tell us everything about the people who left, but it is to encourage the people who remained. But there are some clues that we have here. And in this first chapter, he deals with some things about sin. He deals with some things about what it means to follow the will of God. And so I want to look at that this evening and talk about this idea about sin. Let me ask you this tonight. Does one sin keep you from going to heaven? I'm fairly certain that if we're honest with ourselves, we've all thought about that question. We've all discussed that question with somebody or with a group of people. Well, what if you're living a good life and you're trying to do what's right, and then you have this one sin, you do one thing, is that going to separate you from God for all eternity? It's a pretty serious question. Let me break down for you what seems to be typically the reason for that question, at least from my observation. Then we're going to get to this text. I think, number one, you have real honest, sincere people who are interested in their relationship with God, who want to do right, who really do wonder, I'm living this Christian life, I'm trying to be sanctified in my life, I'm trying to be holy, but I know I'm human, I know I'm weak, and so sometimes I make mistakes and I do things I know I shouldn't do. And so where does that leave me in my relationship with God? Then on the other side of that, it is my judgment, at least, in some of these conversations, that some people are really just looking to justify the actions of their life. And so in the means of trying to understand the grace of God, they overstate the idea, I'm human concept. I'm human. I'm going to make mistakes. God knows I'm human, and so I can just go about my life and realize I'm just going to sin, and that's just the way it is. Is that reality? I would suggest to you it is not. That is not what John has to say about the issue. In fact, I think he says some things against that concept, some really important things that we need to think about in terms of what it means to walk in the light. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. I wish I could just give you a straight-up answer to that question I asked you. Does one sin keep me out of heaven? Or does one sin remove me from my relationship with God? But the reality is, spirituality is just not that simple. I cannot answer that question for you. It's difficult enough for me to answer that question for me. And the reality is, we are in different places in our faith. We have different levels of understanding and knowledge of God and who He is. And because of that, there's going to be different levels of expectation. That doesn't mean that God changes His will or that truth is different. But there is the reality that some of us are going to know some things and come to a knowledge of some things that maybe someone who doesn't know as much doesn't realize yet. And there's one thing that I know about God for sure that is shown throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New, and is what the psalmist said in Psalm 145, the Lord is righteous in all His ways. He's just. I can leave that up to Him. And He is kind in all His deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Just before that, in verse 8 of Psalm 145, it says this. It's a great comfort. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and His mercies are over all His works. If there's one thing I can have total confidence in, it is the reality that God is faithful, that He is just, that He is kind, that He is patient, that He is gracious, that He is merciful. And I can leave the answer to that question up to God, but what it comes down to for me is really figuring out this other question. How can I walk in the light? Well, let me suggest to you that is a better way to picture this idea. Rather than trying to pinpoint and nail down this idea, well, if I commit this one sin, then am I going to be removed from God? Or if I do this other sin over here, does that mean suddenly I'm not going to heaven? How about we phrase it a little bit different way, a way that makes a little bit more sense from the text? How do I walk in the light? Because this is what John has to say about this. He says, this is the message we proclaim to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So I can leave all that other business alone and just say this much. I know one thing, I want to be in the light. Now what does that mean? And what does that take? What does it take for me to be in the light? John deals with that question a little bit here in 1 John 1 and in 1 John 2 and then portions of the rest of the letter here to these people that he's writing, that he's trying to encourage and comfort. That the reality is there is this duality of life. There is light and there is darkness. And what it comes down to is making a choice about where we are going to be. God is gracious to all, the psalmist tells us. In fact, John tells us that here in 1 John chapter 2, when he says that He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Jesus came and He died for everyone. The shedding of His blood was for all humanity, and God desires that everyone would come to repentance, that everyone would come back to Him and do His will. This goes into some of what Jeff talked about this morning, the original order of things and what God really wanted for man in the very beginning, and how that has been broken down and defiled, and now He has called all men back to that. And so John says God is light and in Him is no darkness. Let's talk about what it means to walk in the light. First of all, I would say what it means is that we must love light. We must love the light. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? It sounds kind of basic. Well, yeah, of course we have to love the light. So why am I saying that? Why am I trying to point out this need to desire to be in the light, to pursue light? That is because the reality is man wants to flee from light. John tells us that in John, the third chapter, the Gospel of John, another of his writings, just after the passage that you are very familiar with, where it says, God loved the world in this way, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he talks about this idea of judgment, that those who believe in Him will not be judged, but those who do not believe are judged already. And then in verse 19, he says this, this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. Why? For their deeds are evil. For their deeds are evil, he says. They don't want to be in the light. Because we know with the imagery, we know with the metaphor that John's using both here in John 3 in the gospel, as well as in his letters in 1 John, the idea of light, Paul does the same thing in Ephesians 5, the idea of light is exposing things. It is revealing things. For everyone who does evil hates the light, verse 20, and does not come to the light for fear. Remember that word. For fear that his deeds will be exposed, but he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. This passage just goes hand in hand with 1 John. With a lot of what John's talking about here in his epistle, and what it means to walk in the light, and what it means to have the truth, and to live by the truth. And what he recognizes here in the gospel in John 3 is that people are naturally afraid of the light. They have fear of coming to the light because what the light means is that our lives are exposed. Do you fear the light tonight? Let me suggest to you, if we are afraid of light, if I am afraid of the light, if I'm worried about what's going to be exposed in my life, there's a really good chance that I'm not walking in the light. If I'm afraid that people are going to find out some things about me, or that someone's going to say something about me and it's going to be exposed and people are going to know about what I've done, or we come to the reality that God knows already, and that scares us, that's a really good clue that we're not walking in the light. And so we don't have to answer that question, does this one sin put me in a bad place or this other sin over here? No, we don't need to ask that. What we need to realize is, am I afraid of the light? Do I not want to come to the light? Do I not want to have my life exposed and open? Am I in denial of the reality that God already knows everything already? Am I trying to hide that? Am I trying to flee from the light? Am I trying to get away from the life and the light of Jesus Christ? Because it says some things about my life that I'm not very comfortable with. How can we walk in the light? We have to pursue it. We have to pursue it with honesty. We have to pursue it with sincerity. We have to pursue it even when it's difficult, even when it reveals some things to us that we don't really like. That's the idea of practicing righteousness, of living and walking in the light, of having fellowship with God. It's not this one moment I'm here and then another moment I'm over here and then I'm just shifting back and forth from light to darkness and I'm in sin here and then I'm not in sin and I'm back and forth. That is a concept that's very foreign to the idea of what we find in 1 John and really the rest of the Bible. That's not the concept of relationship. But what we have here is a relationship where we desire to walk in the light. We are pursuing the light. We're not afraid of what it's going to expose because our relationship with God is so important and we want that fellowship, not just with Him, but also with one another. And so if we want to walk in the light, that means we have to pursue it. We have to pursue it full-heartedly with every fiber of our being. That has to be what we want, even if it exposes things that aren't so pretty and aren't so great in our life. After all, that's one reason why we're here. Is this reality that God's plan was to deliver us from our sin. To some extent, I think that's what John's getting at in chapter 1 and verse 10. When he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. If I have this concept that I have not sinned, and that I'm just so pure and righteous, that I am denying the very basic message of the gospel, which is that man in his very essence has sinned and turned from God, has denied God's glory, and has exchanged it for something so much less, and is in so desperate need for the blood of Jesus Christ. And so what it takes if I want to walk in the light is a willingness to put all else aside and to love the light for what it is. It is a self-debasing sort of thing in some senses. As this is not an area in which I can glory in myself or you can glory in yourself, we realize we have weakness. We realize that we haven't lived up to the standard of God. And what light does is it exposes that, but it also shapes us. It also directs us. It also guides us. And so I'd say, second of all, if we want to walk in the light, we have to get real about sin. We have to be in reality about what sin is and how it is in our life and what we have to do with sin. John does not shy away from this idea. In verses 8 through 10, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves. He says, here's the problem with people walking in the light. They're walking around in deception. They are in self-denial. They're deceiving themselves about where they are in relationship with sin. And they're saying, well, I don't have sin. And either they're denying the sin that's in their life, or they're going about trying to justify the things that they're doing and their actions to try to make them out like they're not sin, to make them feel better about it. But what John says is, if you're saying you have no sin, you are deceiving yourself. And like I said, I don't know exactly what these opponents of the people John were writing, what they were saying or what they were trying to teach. We can't know exactly. But we have some pretty strong clues that some of it had to do with this concept of sin. Whether they believed that Jesus didn't really come in the flesh because flesh is bad and evil and sin is tied up in flesh, and so their knowledge brings them to a point where they have no sin, or whatever it might be, it seems that John is addressing that. And what he's saying is, if someone's saying that they have no sin, they are self-deceived. If someone thinks that they have reached such a state of knowledge and understanding and that they have risen above the idea that they have fallen, that they have sin, that they don't understand what humanity's about. And then two verses later, in verse 10, he says, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. We've already talked about that passage. But what he's saying is, you need to have an understanding of sin and what it is. And stop trying to deny its power. Stop trying to deny what it has done to people's lives and what it is doing, in fact, in my life and the lives of the people around me. So much so that I was in such a desperate situation that I needed the death of Jesus to get me out of it. That's where humanity is. Is lost. It is lost in sin. And so if we want to walk in the light, we have to get real about that. We have to realize what sin has done to humanity, what it has done to me and to my life. But what the real treasure is the middle verse. Because walking in the light is all about understanding the correct response to sin, how we deal with sin. Because I've already told you up front that we realize that man is not perfect, that we do sin, that we do undermine God's glory, and we do forsake him in our lives at times, and we go against his will. But the difference between one who is walking in the light and one who is not walking in the light is how one responds to that reality. And so this is what John says in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not what verse 9 says. If you are perfect, then you will live with God forever. John knows that's not reality. But what he knows is reality is if we are honest, if we are open about where we are, when we realize there is sin in our life, if we're like David, that's the real difference between men like David and men like Judas, or men like David and men like Saul. That when David realized his depth of sin, we realized really where he was in his relationship with God, he wanted to make it right. He was willing and he was open to admit his faults. And yet Saul just sought his own glory. He wanted Samuel, just come down to Gilgal with me, worship with me, honor me before the people. That's what Saul was interested in. That's the difference between Saul and David. Although an Old Testament figure, David understands this concept. He understands the importance of sincerity before God. He understands the reality that sin is there. And what God wants is people that have honest, open, willing hearts. And so it's not about this one moment or that one moment or doing this one sin or that one sin and our relationship that we're just in and out and in and out. No, this is the idea that I want to be in a relationship with God. And furthermore, when I realize there's sin in my life, I will confess my sin to God. I want a powerful statement that says in verse 9, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, not from just some unrighteousness, a little bit of unrighteousness, but he's going to reach a limit where he'll no longer do that anymore. That's not what it says. He will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Understand the power of that statement. But what God wants are people who have a heart for him. Just before this, when it talks about God being light, it says in verse 6, it brings up some contrast. If we say we have fellowship with him, this is what really upsets God. If you notice this in the Old Testament or even in the New Testament, various stories, if we say we have fellowship with him, we pretend like we have a relationship with God. You know, they're doing the offerings, they're having the sacrifices, they're worshiping at the temple, and yet walk in the darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. You go through the story of the Old Testament. And what really upsets God, Israel, they don't abandon Yahweh in terms of never worshiping him, totally removing him from their mind for the most part. But what they do is they're worshiping idols. They're bringing in all these other gods, and then they're going to go to the temple and they're going to worship God. He says, you're walking in darkness. You're walking in paganism. You're doing all these horrible, wretched things. You're murdering people and taking advantage of widows and orphans. And you're not just in your businesses. And then you're going to come and you're going to offer on my altar in my house. We say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie. God wants people who are honest. Walking in the light means we are sincere. Walking in the light means we want to pursue light. We want to be in the light. We are willing for the light to expose who we are. What it means is we are going to confess our sins before him. We want to be open and honest. And then finally, it means this, the third thing. It means we have to practice righteousness. We have to practice righteousness. I don't care what people say about grace in our modern day. They don't understand it, number one. And that they miss the point and the reality of places like 1 John where it makes these statements. In fact, they go to places like 1 John 3 and commentate those chapters totally erroneously to give the idea that we don't have to do anything. That somehow there's just no sin in people who are with God. That missing the duality of the point that John's making, that there's light and there's darkness, that there's sin and there's wickedness, and that there's sin and there's righteousness, and there's going to be people who are with God and people who are not with God. And so there's a decision to be made, and they take that and they twist it and they turn it to act like man just doesn't have to do anything, misunderstanding what grace is and the essence of God's grace. But here's what it comes down to. There are some real tangible, measurable things about life that show whether or not we are with God. And so this is what John says. 1 John 3 and verse 7. Little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. Very simple. It comes down to our actions. Our actions betray us. They say a lot about us. They reveal who we are. And John understands that fully. In fact, numerous times, this word is translated practice. It is the word do or make in Greek. It is one who is doing righteousness or one who is doing lawlessness. This is about the way of life. Did you pick up on the metaphor early on in 1 John 1? He talks about walking in the light or walking in the darkness. This is not just one step here or one step there. This is a way of life. It's a lifestyle choice. It's not just one moment here and one moment there. It is a choice about the way of life. It is walking the narrow road or walking the wide path, as Jeff talked about this morning. It's those two options. But when John boils it down to its simplest form, he says the one who practices, the one who does righteousness is righteous. It's that simple. And God has expectations from us. He expects us to live in a certain way. In fact, in this text in 1 John, the big things that John's dealing with is this belief, the doctrine. There are some doctrinal things that we must believe, that we must accept. The reality that Jesus came in the flesh, that Jesus died for the sins of the world, that Jesus was the Messiah in flesh. And not only that, but you must love your brethren. Apparently, there are some problems going on with those who left about love. They didn't love the way that God wanted them to love. And so John addresses that. He says they're not living right. There's some things they're doing in their life that expose the reality that they're not walking in the light. And so he calls them liars. He says they say they have the truth, they say they have knowledge, they say they're walking in light, but in reality they're walking in darkness, and they don't love their brethren, and they don't treat people right, and they don't listen to the will of God. Did you notice the end of our reading in chapter 2? The one who says, this is verse 4, the one who says, I have come to know him and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. It's pretty strong language. Someone who comes along feeding the idea that we don't have to worry so much about doing the will of God, they're a liar. That's what they are. And I'm not trying to be hateful or mean. I'm just relaying to you what John says right here. Someone that misunderstands the concept of grace and just says, oh, you don't have to worry about doing what God says. The grace is just going to cover everything. They're a liar. The grace of God is the reality that he has given us the gospel message. He has sent his son into the world to die for our sins. And he has expectations for us, and he wants us to walk in the light. He realizes we are not going to be perfect. And he is long-suffering, he is patient, he is kind, and he is merciful. But that does not give us license to just live however we want and say, well, grace is just going to cover it all. That's not what 1 John teaches. 1 John teaches us that the one who says he abides in him, in Jesus, ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. One of the most fundamental things about who we are is what we practice. The practice of our faith. Someone isn't much of a disciple if they don't really do what the master tells them to do. Some of you, I know you work in jobs, or maybe you have someone that works under you. Maybe you're trying to bring them along. The reality is there that in 15, 10, 5 years, you're going to retire and someone else is going to come along. And so you're trying to train them, but what if they don't really listen? Where does that person end up? Not there very long. Because they're not much of a learner. They're not much of a disciple. They're not trying to take in the things that have been given to them. And so if we're going to say we're disciples, if we're going to say we're Christians, that we're followers of Christ, that means that we ought to walk just as he walked. That we should be conformed to his image, doing things according to his will. This is not complex. This is not super difficult to understand. This does not take a rocket scientist to figure out. It is amazing to me that in the religious world this has been so perverted and turned. That the very essence and foundation of what discipleship is that we follow the master. That's exactly what John's saying here in 1 John 2. That our rule of life is to be conformed to the image of God. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 4. That we're to look to Jesus, who is the truth. He is the embodiment of truth. We're to look at his life and see the way that he lived and then follow that. Just like the opposite of that is told to us in verse 8 of chapter 3. The one who practices sin is of the devil. He uses this language throughout this book, talking about being born of God, or abiding in God, or being of God. And he uses that same concept here in verse 8 of chapter 3. The one who practices sin is of the devil. He's a follower of the devil, and the devil is sin from the beginning. And the reality is the message, the gospel, is that the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. So why would we want to continue in them, to use the statements of Paul?
Why do we want to sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid.
We understand the grace of God, if that's our view of his message. How do we walk in the light? I'd submit to you tonight that that's a much better question than, does one sin separate me from God? Does one sin keep me out of heaven? The reality is, the answer to that question can be yes, or it could be no. I can't give the answer to that question, but what I can say is that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Are you in the light? Are you walking in the light? Is that the practice of your life? Not do you occasionally do some things that are in Scripture or occasionally look to the will of God for some guidance, but is it what your life is? That's the real question. That's what we have to ask ourselves. Am I guiding myself by the word of God, which is a lamp for my feet? Am I really looking at Scripture and embodying that in my life and making it who I am and walking as Jesus Christ himself walked? If that is my goal every day, if that is my aim, I can have great confidence. I can have great security by the promise of God. This is the promise that he has made us, he tells us. Eternal life, 1 John 2:25. There doesn't have to be great doubt. That's what this question comes down to. People, there's fear, there's doubt. Am I really going to go to heaven? Am I really going to be with God? If I make this one mistake, am I going to be separated from him for all eternity? But look at the passage. Look at 1 John 2:25. He makes this promise to us. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. He has promised that. And so we can count on it. If we walk in the light as he is in the light. Can we help you do that tonight? Maybe you are a Christian and you realize you've given your life to Jesus already in the past, but you know you're not walking in the same way that he walked. Maybe you're doing some things like they're doing here. You're not loving your brethren the right way. Or maybe it's other issues in your life that you realize need to be changed. I can't answer all the questions for you. God is the ultimate judge. But if you're afraid, if you don't really want to come to light, that's probably a good sign you need to. If you're worried about what people are going to think, don't worry about that. What matters is what God thinks in your relationship with God. And if every person in this building, I don't think it'll happen, but if every person in this building forsook you because you came forward and you admit and you confess your sin, what does that matter? What matters is where you stand with God and if you're walking in the light. And I can say with a great deal of confidence that people will not do that. But even if they did, the most important thing is that we're right with God. And if you're not right with God tonight because you've not yet come to Jesus Christ, we'd love to help you do that. We don't promise to have all the answers in the world about everything, but the message of salvation is fairly simple. And if you're not sure about what that is, I can give you a brief summary of it. Jesus came and he died for the sins of the world. And what he asked us to do is to die with him, to give up our life. If we try to save our life, we're going to lose it, he says. But if we lose our life for his sake, we will find it. And what we're told to do in Scripture is to be baptized in water in the likeness of his death and to be raised up in the likeness of his resurrection in newness of life. We begin walking in the light as he is in the light. Can we help you tonight? Why don't you come now as we stand and we sing together?